We're going to start in the book of Leviticus. If you want to turn there, we're going to look at seven scriptures this morning. We're going to look at seven emblems of the Holy Spirit. God teaches us in pictures, and he does it in a lot of different ways. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. That's a picture of Jesus. The water coming out of the rock struck by Moses. Romans chapter 10 says that he was that spiritual rock, and we drink from that spiritual rock today. So there are seven emblems or pictures of the Holy Spirit that are important in the Bible. I want to look at them this morning because Holy Spirit has been neglected by some and overemphasized by others. If you look at the great hymns of the 1600s, 1700s, in the hymn book, and the first section of most hymn books are glory to God, praise of God, praise to the Lord the Almighty. And then in the 1800s with the great revivals with Charles Finney, D.L. Moody, you had salvation and you had the get saved songs and you had hymns that were testimonies, the old rugged cross. And since 1960, the beginning of the Pentecostal movement with Dennis Bennett, who was an Episcopalian priest, started speaking in tongues. That's when tongues hit the mainstream, and there's been a tremendous emphasis on the Holy Spirit. And so we've had more hymns about the Holy Spirit. Sweet, sweet Spirit is one of the songs that we sing in our hymn book. But the Holy Spirit's always been around. Holy Spirit is mentioned in the first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Holy Spirit, those words together are mentioned three times in the Old Testament. Probably the most famous verse is Psalm 51:11, where David is repenting of his sin with Bathsheba. And he says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. The Holy Spirit is mentioned. Those two words are mentioned in Isaiah 63 twice. But when you get to the New Testament, every book of the New Testament mentions the Holy Spirit except Philemon and 2nd and 3rd John. Every book talks about the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 19, beginning with verse 1, very interesting situation. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came unto Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. Boy, there are a lot of people that act like they've never heard of the Holy Ghost. I had a Sunday school teacher, and she was a graduate of Boyce Bible School at Southern Seminary. She had been a minister of education in churches. She was a school principal in Seminole County. She was my high school Sunday school teacher. She said when she was a little girl, she was scared of ghosts. And they would preach about the Holy Ghost this, and the Holy Ghost that, and the Holy Ghost, please come. And she would say, please don't come. I'm scared of ghosts. W.A. Criswell, for Southern Baptist, W.A. Criswell wrote a book in 1960 on the Holy Spirit. And that was one of the first books written by a Southern Baptist on the Holy Spirit. And we have become more and more comfortable with talking about the Holy Spirit. We still don't like to talk about demons. We don't want to talk about anybody being demon possessed, even though that's real too. But if you look at 1 Corinthians, the book of 1 Corinthians teaches that the Holy Spirit's ministry today is to give spiritual insight. He fills the church. He fills each one of us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts. And if you're born again, you need to know what your gift, your primary gift is. And you need to be using it to edify the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit is not a separate gift from God. He is God in us and with us. The Holy Spirit is inside us and he's with us. One of the songs that Dawn picked this morning, Paraclete, that's the Greek word for Holy Spirit. I will send you the comforter. Para is alongside. Kaleo is call in Greek. The one called alongside to strengthen and encourage. The Paraclete, the Holy Spirit. Someone said one time, the greatest lack in the church today is the absence of the Holy Spirit's power and blessing. Carl Bates was president of the Southern Baptist Convention in 1970. He baptized my mother when he was at First Baptist Church, Leesburg, Florida. But Dr. Bates, when he was president of the convention, said, if God took the Holy Spirit out of the world today, 90% of what Southern Baptists do would still go on. We'd still brag about it. But we're not doing it with the power of the Holy Spirit. Thomas Aquinas, the great Catholic theologian that died in 1272, he was given a tour of the treasury of the Vatican by the Pope. It's one of my favorite Aquinas story, by the way, and you'll hear it again sometime. But the Pope was showing him all the treasures they had, all the jewels, all the gold, all the works of art that the Catholic Church had. And the Pope rather smugly and arrogantly said, "So you see now, Thomas, no more do we have to say, silver and gold have I none." And Thomas Aquinas looked at him and said, "No, Holy Father, and neither can we say, take up thy bed and walk." We have all the blessing and we don't have any of the power, because it comes from the Holy Spirit, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord, Zechariah 4:6. Charles Ryrie has talked about the Holy Spirit being the third person of the Trinity. He's called the Spirit of God, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of the Lord God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of glory, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace and supplication, and the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit is God. And so there are seven pictures that God gives us in the Old Testament. Leviticus 21:10. When they anoint the high priest, Leviticus 21:10, he that is the high priest among his brethren, on whose head the anointing oil was poured, that is come consecrated to put on the garments, and shall not uncover his head, nor rend his clothes, neither shall he go to any dead body, nor defile himself for his father nor for his mother, neither shall he go out of the sanctuary, nor profane the sanctuary of his God. For the crown of the anointing oil of the Lord is upon him. I am the Lord. The anointing, it is power, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. God gives us his grace. God gives us his power. The oil is a symbol of power, the anointing of God. It's interesting. When you look at people with spiritual gifts, there is the gift of singing. Some people have a talent for singing, and they can do it. Musically, it's very, very good. If you're going to judge it by the standard of perfect pitch and the notes and the enunciation of the words, it is letter perfect. But someone with the spiritual gift of singing can touch your soul. It's on a different level. Someone can give out facts, and they can stand up and speak in public. But someone with the spiritual gift of teaching can share something with you that stirs your heart and your soul. It's got an anointing that a talent doesn't have. The anointing oil of the Holy Spirit. Remember that oil represents grace, it represents power. But when you read the story of the Good Samaritan, the parable of the Good Samaritan, when the Samaritan found the man who had been mugged, He bound up his wounds with wine and oil. The oil is also a healing agent, a cleansing agent. The anointing of the Holy Spirit heals us and cleanses us. And many of us stand in need today of emotional healing, mental healing, as well as physical healing. That's why it says, if any are sick among you, let the elders anoint them with oil. Oil is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. So you've got oil. If you look in the book of Hosea, you have another picture. Hosea's over there in the back in the white pages. You know, the white pages of the Bible, those are the ones we never turn to. Right after Daniel, Hosea chapter 6, verse 3. Hosea chapter 6, verse 3. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain unto the earth. The Holy Spirit is described as rain falling on the earth. There are two basic rains in the Holy Land, very arid country, very dry. They depend on the rain during the winter to soften the ground so they can plow it in the spring. It starts raining in October. It rains in November, December, January. It softens up the ground. They can plow. They can plant their seeds. Then it rains again in April on the little plants that have sprouted up. The former and the latter rain. And with the rain, you have life. You have fruit. You have productivity. You have harvest. You have something to eat and sustain yourself. The former and the latter rain are a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 16:15 said, the king's favor is as the latter rain. It's a blessing that God gives us. And how many have ever sung that song, there shall be showers of blessing? This is the promise of God. Yes. And that's one of the characteristics of the millennial kingdom, is the world will be blessed with rain. God's Spirit, Jesus, will rule from his throne. So there is oil, there is rain, there is fire. Last book of the Bible, Malachi. Someone told me one time that's the Italian prophet Malachi. That is not correct. It is Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verses 2 through 3. Who shall abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering of righteousness. The Holy Spirit is like fire. Jesus said in Matthew 3, I've come to send fire on the earth. And that's one of the ways he referred to his message. Fire. Fire warms, fire heats, fire purifies. Job 23:10. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Fire purifies. You have to heat metals to a certain number of degrees, and the impurities float to the top. Then you can scoop off the impurities and you have pure gold, you have pure silver, you have pure copper. And then you can work with them. Imperfections cause weakness in the metal. Imperfections cause weakness in the tools and the weapons. You get out the imperfections and then you can work with the metal and make something productive out of it. Fire, purifying. It warms, it hardens. How do you harden a steel blade? Stick it in the fire, heat it, cool it suddenly. Beat on it, heat it up, stick it in the fire, stick it in the water, cool it properly. Something else about fire. Fire spreads. Something on fire sets something else on fire. Something on fire sets something else on fire. Fire spreads, and so does the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moves across the world. God is moving today. Henry Blackaby, in his series called Experiencing God. He says, how do you find God's will in your life? You look around and see where God is working, and then you join God in the work. How do you find God's will? Look and see what God is doing, and then join God in doing it. God is a consuming fire. Rain, oil, fire, the dove, Jesus getting baptized, Matthew chapter 3. Just flip a few pages from Malachi to Matthew. Matthew chapter 3, 13 through 17. Matthew 3, 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and then the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The dove is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, just like the lamb is a symbol of Jesus. It's recognized, you see it in art, you see it in stained glass windows, the dove. Dove's a very beautiful bird. The dove is a gentle bird. The dove is not an aggressive bird. Be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. Dove is a symbol of grace in our lives. We depend on God's grace. There is saving grace, that's how we get saved, but there is sustaining grace that keeps us going through life. The Holy Spirit is a dove. Holy Spirit is also the symbol of peace. It's the end of judgment. When the earth was flooded, all life was destroyed except what was in the ark. Noah, finally, the second bird, he sent out a dove. And the dove came back with the news that the flood was over and they could get out of the ark. The dove is a sign of peace. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The dove is a symbol of peace. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Promise of God. Rain, oil, fire, dove, wind. John chapter 3, not Matthew 3, but go to John chapter 3. Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus, the man, the secret disciple, the man that came to Jesus by night. John 3, verse 4. Nicodemus saith to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound of it thereof, but could not whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. One of the pictures of the Holy Spirit is wind. Wind, and that's what the words mean. The Greek word is pneuma. Pneuma, spirit, means wind or breath. The Latin word spiritus means wind or breath. And yet we use it of the Holy Spirit. Wind is invisible. Wind is only detectable when you see the effect. You know the Holy Spirit is working when you see the results of the work. You only know the wind is blowing when you see the trees shaking, when you see the leaves blowing. You only see the wind working when it blows your hair and gets it out of place. The wind is invisible. You only see the effects of the wind. We only see the effects of the Holy Spirit. And we can't see him because he's invisible. We don't know what the Holy Spirit is doing in people's hearts right now in this worship service. The Holy Spirit is working while we're here. But we can't see it because he works invisibly. And most of the time he works internally. The work of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's powerful. He can turn a daddy that's a drunk into a daddy that works hard and supports his family. He can turn someone that's a murderer into a loving person. The Holy Spirit is powerful. I love Ripley's Believe It or Not. When I went to Gatlinburg, I went through Ripley's Believe It or Not, and believe it or not, they have a pine needle that was poked all the way through a pine tree. Or tornado hit that was so strong, the wind was so fast, it took a little frail pine needle and drove it like a nail through the trunk of that tree. And you can see it go in, and you can see where part of it came out the other side. The power of the wind, the power of the Holy Spirit, it cleanses us. 2 Timothy 1:7, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. It cleanses. Job 37:14 says, the Spirit cleanses us. What does the wind do? Well, it blows the leaves away. I wish it would blow the leaves away on my driveway. It doesn't. I live next door to a house that had trees all over the front yard. And I asked my neighbor one time in Tennessee, I said, when are you going to rake your leaves in the front yard? He said, I've lived here 32 years and never had to rake the leaves one time. Because the wind always blows them next door. And by the end of the season, he didn't have a leaf in his yard. They were all blown over into the cow pasture. The wind will blow the pollen away. The wind will blow the smoke away. A fire is coming at us. The wind will shift a fire and move it in a different direction. Wind guides, wind blows, wind cleanses. The Holy Spirit is like the wind. Now, John chapter 7, maybe the most popular thought of idea of the Holy Spirit. John 7:37. In the last, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Now, why'd he do that? On the last, the great day of the feast, the priest in charge of the sacrifice at the temple in Jerusalem, and Jesus was there outside the temple, the priest would take a silver pitcher and go down the hill to Kidron Valley and get a pitcher of water out of the brook Kidron, bring it back up the hill to the temple, and pour that pitcher of water on the altar where they've been sacrificing the animals all week. And that water from the creek would run down the sides of that altar, and what was running down the sides of the altar was water mixed with blood. When Jesus was crucified on the cross and they thrust the spear into his side, what came out? Water and blood from the altar of Calvary. But that's what's going on. In the last, the great day of the feast, while this was happening and the water was poured on the blood on the altar, Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Water, rivers, water from the rock. And the Bible says this rock was Jesus. Exodus 40, verse 12. Aaron and his sons had to be washed before they were consecrated as priests. Naaman the leper, great general of the Syrian army, had a little slave girl that was a Hebrew an Israelite. And she said, if only my master who had leprosy, if only my master would go to the prophet in Israel, you could be healed. So he goes and he talks to the prophet, and the prophet says, go wash 7 times in the Jordan River. He said, we got plenty of rivers in Syria. Why did I have to come here? Because God does things a certain way, and we're supposed to do what God tells us to do. Naaman goes to the Jordan River. He dips himself 7 times in the river, and the 7th time he came up, his skin was free of leprosy, and it was like a baby's skin. The water washed his disease away, just like the Holy Spirit deals with our sin in our lives. Jesus, John 13, washes the disciples' feet. Washing. You know, I did a foot washing service one time. We as Baptists don't do that. That's the other Baptists. But someone asked me, I was at Lake Yale, and they said, we want to do a foot washing service. I said, I've never done one. Says, well, do it anyway. What does foot washing symbolize? You walk through the desert, the dust, the dirt, the road on sandals. What do you accumulate on your feet? You accumulate dirt, debris, it's hot, you perspire, your feet smell, your nose runs, your feet smells. We're messed up people, all right? I know some people, their feet would give odor eaters indigestion, all right? But what does foot washing symbolize? We, as each other, humble ourselves and we wash each other's feet. We help each other. It's refreshing. It's cleansing. It's a renewing. Anybody ever go home and soak their feet? Do you have one of those tubs that you soak your feet in? They sell on TV. Okay, I see a hand. All right. Yeah. It's refreshing. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to minister to each other. We're supposed to serve each other. We're supposed to refresh each other. The Holy Spirit is like water. That's what the Spirit does for us in the body of Christ. The woman at the well, Jesus told her, John chapter 4, they that drink the water out of this well will thirst again. But they that drink the water that I offer them shall never thirst again, but have everlasting life. The Holy Spirit is like water. Last thing, Ephesians chapter 1. The Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance. The earnest, and we still use that term today in real estate, the earnest of our inheritance, the down payment of what's to come. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. In whom you have trusted also, and you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory, which is the earnest, the down payment of our inheritance. You go to buy a piece of property, you put down earnest money. You put down 5%, you put down 20%. If you're doing a conventional loan, you have to pay 20% down and you can finance 80%. The earnest money, a down payment of a future full payment. The Holy Spirit is called the earnest of our inheritance. It's a pledge, a contract, a down payment. We have the earnest of the Spirit. We just have a down payment. We just have a smidgen. You know the word smidgen? Do they use smidgen in Polk County? A smidgen of what God has for us. The eye hath not seen, nor the ear heard, nor hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Corruption is replaced with incorruption. Dishonor is replaced with glory. Weakness is replaced with power. The natural body is replaced with a spiritual body that doesn't hurt, doesn't have high blood pressure, doesn't have varicose veins, doesn't get fat. Wow, what a deal. The earthly is replaced by the heavenly. Mortality is replaced by immortality. flesh and blood are replaced by something else. I'm not sure what it is, but it will be. The Holy Spirit is the down payment of future glory that God is going to do for us in the future. Someone said one time, unless there is that within us which is above us, we shall soon yield to that which is around us. Let me run that one by you again. Unless there is that within us which is above us, we shall soon yield to that which is around us. Hanley Moulet was a tremendous Bible teacher in the 1800s, has some tremendous commentaries on Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians. He was on vacation in the Holy Land, and on his way back, he stopped in Rome, getting a tour of Rome, see the Colosseum, see the palaces, see the art museums. He stopped on the street, and he was watching workmen uncovering a ruin in Rome. They were getting rid of the rubble, they're getting rid of the dust and the dirt, accumulation of centuries. And finally, they get down to a certain point and they move a big rock and it uncorked a spring. This stream of clear, fresh water started coming out of that ruin. Apparently, there had been a fountain there connected to a Roman cistern that had been connected to the aqueducts. It had been all stopped up for hundreds of years with rubble and dirt and debris. And once they cleared it out, the water could flow again. Folks, that's what the church needs to do. We need to uncork the Spirit. That's what we need to do in our own lives. We need to uncork the Spirit. Let's get away. Let's clear the trash away. Let's clear the rubble away. And let the Holy Spirit do His thing in our lives. We will have more power, we will get more prayers answered, we will see lives changed, and we will see the kingdom of God extended if we let the Holy Spirit do His part. One of the first things the Holy Spirit does for you is to reveal to you Jesus and the fact that we're sinners and we need to be saved. Romans 10, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you've never done that this morning, you need to do that. You need to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. We're going to sing an invitation hymn. And if you need to make that decision, you come as we sing. Dawn is going to come and lead the music. Betty is going to play for us. Libby's going to play for us. We're going to sing hymn number 275. Hymn number 275. I surrender all. Now, if you're already saved, this becomes a response time. We sing this hymn as a hymn of commitment. I surrender all. Let's stand together and sing.